and deep in left, now just a little bit shallow in center, and somewhat shallow in right. Now the stretch by Bearden. Here's the pitch. And it's over that outside corner about letter high for a call strike. So the count is 2-1 on Frank McCormick as the Boston Braves, trailing 2-0, hope to be able to start something in the way of an uprising. And the TP of the Cleveland Indians on the shorefront of Lake Erie. Bearden again sets Texas runner. Elliott leading off first. Here's your pitch. McCormick takes. And it's over the inside corner for call strike two. Two balls, two strikes. And now time is called. Time is called for a moment. Bob Elliott calls time. He steps off first base. Something's in his eye. Johnny Cooney, who is coaching over that first base today, walked over and helped him out. Billy Southworth, the Braves skipper, coaching at third. Time is back in. Activity in the Indian bullpen. Ed Kleiman, and Russ Christopher, two right-handers are throwing. Gene Bearden all set for the 2-2 pitch now to Frank McCormick. Here it is. McCormick swings and misses. Thankfully, hold on to first base of time. Not in time to double up Elliott, who had a big lead and was ready to go. On the pitch, as Frank McCormick went down, striking out. Looked like he struck out on that tumble-down knuckleball. All right, with one down, up steps Clint Conacher. 5'11", 180-pounder from Los Angeles, California. Bounced out to Bearden and grounded out to Keltner.
In his two previous appearances,
right-hand hitter. Billy Southworth has injected as many right-hand hitters into the lineup as he possibly could today against the left-hand slants of Gene Bearden, who now throws, tries to swing, and grounds one down to Keltner. Off with it. Over to Gordon for one. Gordon back to Eddie Robinson. Double play. And the Cleveland Indians keep coming up with those double plays in the clutch to help out their pitchers. No runs for the Braves.
One hit.
No errors for the Indians. And nobody left on for Boston.
And the score
at the end of 6.5 innings. Cleveland 2. Boston nothing. You know, it's fun to change blades with a modern Gillette Super Speed Razor, as Jeff Heath of the Boston Braves said a while ago, and you just skim the whiskers off. Twist, the razor open. Zip, it's loaded. Twist again, and man alive, what shades you get. To clean, just loosen the razor, rinse, shake, and put it away. Convenient? You said it. Economical, too. For Gillette razors and blades are double-edged.
For double economy.
You get two edges, not just one. Enjoy far more shaves for blades. And save money. Another thing, this improved razor is precision made. It never jams and clogs.
There's nothing to fit together, nothing to waste time or patience.
What's more, you get the razor plus a 10-blade Gillette dispenser, a regular $1.50
value, for only a dollar.
Buy a Gillette Super Speed Razor for superlative shaving satisfaction. Gene Bearden leading off in the last half of the seventh inning. Takes a pitch low for ball one. Indians leading 2-0.
You may have heard the Cleveland band playing taking out for the ball game a moment ago.
Bearden looks at a fastball low outside. Ball two.
That is customary and traditional
here in the Cleveland ballpark during, of course, the regular season. Barzell delivers quickly, and it's in there. Fastball for a called strike.
Gene Bearden has
been quite a star today, both on the mound and at plate.
He doubled in the third inning,
scored the first run
for Cleveland.
Now he looks at a fastball on the outside corner for called strike two. Bearden saying the left in the fourth inning to keep a rally alive, which Bill Barzell snuffed down as he came on to relieve Vern Bickford.
Bickford had gone 3 1/3 innings, allowed 4 hits, walked 5, struck out 1, and gave up both runs.
Barzell throws, third and plays up the four-burner out toward short. Alvin Dark up with the ball, and nice hop, puts his throw over to first in time, and there's one away for Cleveland in the last half of the seventh inning. Now we go to the top of the order to pick up Dale Mitchell. Mitchell, left-hand batter, flies to left, walked, and fouled out to Bob Elliott. Mitchell hasn't been in organized baseball very long. He's come a long way in a short time. A left-hand batter.
Takes outside, ball one.
Bill Stewart calling balls and strikes.
Billy Grieve umpiring at first base, George Barr at second base, and Bill Summers at third base. Boisel throws, pitch is swung on and fouled back to the screen. Joe Paparella is the left field line umpire, and Dave Finelli is the right field line umpire. One ball, one strike, one out, last for seven. Cleveland two, Braves nothing. Bill Boisel comes in with it. It's swung on, popped up into the air, down the left field line. Eddie Biggs, for Al Darnick goes down on the grass, along the line, under it, and makes the catch for the out. He's wearing sunglasses. The sun is out now at Municipal Stadium. And it's been rather a confusing day as far as the weather is concerned. It's just been a day of confusion all the way around, except for the game itself, which is moving along in sparkling fashion, tightly contested. Typical World Series play. Now you have Larry Doby, who walked, hit into a fourth player, and grounded out the first, stepping in, back from left-handed. Boisel throws. Low curve that's over there for a call strike about letter high, got the inside corner. Larry Doby, a 6 foot, 182 pounder from Norwalk, Ohio. He takes a fastball up around the eyes now, and the count is even up, 1-1. Cleveland two, Braves nothing, last to seventh. Bill Boisel pitching excellent relief ball. Working rapidly. He delivers to Doby, who swings and misses. He struck hard at that one. And the count is 1-2. Doby takes perhaps the most vicious cut of anybody in the American League. Red Barrett is throwing the bullpen for the Braves. No activity in the Indians' bullpen at the present time. Fireman and Christopher were warming up a little while ago. Bill Boisel swings into his windup 2-3 times. Over the head, the issue's delivery. And it's inside for a ball as Bill Boisel swung around with his arm, with his back to the plate after Bill Stewart had called out a ball by way of protesting the decision. Thought they had the inside corner on Doby. Almost a beautiful pitch. But Bill Stewart, right on top of it, saw the ball just off the corner. Now Boisel's delivery. Point on the ground ball. He's going to hold between first and second and threw out of the right field for a base hit. Donnie Holmes comes in, scoops the ball up, and he holds on to the ball as Larry Doby took a tremendous turn around first. And Doby probably would have broken for second as Holmes elected to throw to first. So Doby was trying to outfox Holmes. Holmes refused to let go of the ball, and so he kept running in toward the infield, and Doby had to finally go back to first. So it's a single for Larry Doby to right field. And here's Lou Boudreau. Takes the high outside delivery, ball one. That's Doby's fourth hit on the series. And 11 times as bad, is that right, Jim? Lou Boudreau, right-hand batter up, stretched by Boisel. Here's your pitch. Lou swings, lifts a high pump up down the left field line. Bob W. digging. Towards Al Dark. Dark is over there, makes the catch, and it's in foul territory. It was signaled by Bill Summers that Al Dark caught the ball in foul territory. So that's all for the Cleveland Indians. In the last half of the seventh inning. No runs, one hit, no errors for the Braves, and one left on. Al Dark had a hand in all three outs that time. He tossed out Bearden and took pop-up from Mitchell and Boudreau. Just at the end of seven innings of play, the Indians still lead the Boston Braves by a score of 2-0. With your total showing the Indians 2 runs, 5 hits, no errors, 7 men left on base, and the Boston Braves showing no runs, 5 hits, 1 error, and 3 men left on. Gene Bearden has been stingy in allowing more than one hit in any inning. The Braves got a hit in the second, one in the third, one in the fourth. One in the sixth, one in the seventh. But there have been double plays coming to the rescue of Bearden in important situations. The Indians having come up today with 2 double plays, one in the fourth and one in the seventh. They made a couple yesterday in important situations to help along Bob Lemon. Just when it seemed that the Braves were on the verge of starting a rally, up would come the double play. To a pitcher, that's the greatest play in baseball. And so we're ready now, ladies and gentlemen, for the top half of the eighth inning. And the Boston Braves are sending up Phil Macy, Eddie Sankey, and Bill Boisel, unless perhaps you may have a pinch hitter, because Red Baron is still throwing the bullpen down there for Boston. Gene Bearden, the left-hander, throws. Macy bunts down the third baseline. Bearden races over, takes the ball off, turns it over to first in time for the out. The Braves trying to be resourceful, realizing that Bearden's being a rough customer to handle insofar as getting base hits is concerned. Trying to get on in some other fashion. And Phil Macy attempted to lay one down and beat it out. He caught Keltner laying back, but he was unable to push it far enough down the line so that Bearden was able to come over and feel the ball. Now Eddie Sankey takes that call over the inside corner just above the knees. In his windup, the left-hander delivers. Sankey swings and lines one foul down the left field line into the Braves bullpen. Now Bill Summers calls time, and he orders in an unusual situation. Tommy Holmes had come out of the batter's circle. That is normal when a pitcher's turn to hit is coming up next. The leadoff man will come over to the batter's circle. Billy Southworth had sent Connie Ryan out to hit for Boisel, and you had two men on deck. So Bill Summers ordered one of them away. All right, Bearden throws. There's a pitcher swung on, hit back around. Knocked down by Bearden. Picks the ball up, throws the first in time, and they're two away. Frankie, in a solid liner, that nine times out of ten goes right straight through out over second in the center for that base hit. But Gene Bearden knocked the ball down in self-defense more than anything else, recovered quickly, and fired the first in time to retire Sankey. And now we're going to have a pinch hitter for Bill Boisel. Let's listen to the BA announcement. Connie Ryan, the right-hand hitter, coming up to bat for Bill Boisel. Ryan's an infielder, 5'11", 175-pounder from New Orleans. Takes the pitch, it's in there for a call strike. Fastball got the outside corner. The outfield plays him step toward left. Infield shaded slightly around toward third. Gene Bearden delivers. Connie Ryan swings and grounds one foul down the third baseline. Billy Southworth sticks out his southpaw hand and grabs it. Then hands it over to Kenny Keltner, who in turn tosses over to Gene Bearden. We're going to have Red Baird coming in to do his second consecutive stint of relief pitching in as many days.
Ryan up there batting for Boisel. Braves are trailing 2-0.
Top of the eighth inning. Now the pitch.
It's low.
Ball one. One ball, two strikes. Ryan jokes his bat just about an inch. Stands fairly close to the plate.
Swing, turn to swing, he did.
And Bill Stewart, for strike three, Connie trying to hold up, but Stewart says, no, you went around. No runs for the Braves, no hits, no Cleveland errors, nobody left on for Boston. And the score,
at the end of 7.5 innings,
the score is Cleveland 2,
Boston nothing.
When men everywhere you go praise a new shaving aid, there must be a reason.
Yes, and when you try the sensational Gillette Blue Blade dispenser,
you'll know the reason. This handy device puts 20 Gillette Blue Blades, 40
superb shaving edges,
right at your fingertips. Push with your thumb and zip.
There's a new blade unwrapped, ready for any Gillette razor.
You save time, save bother. What's more, the shaving edges are perfectly protected at all times.
They don't even touch the dispenser when blades are being injected.
Here's the handiest thing you can imagine. Get a Gillette dispenser and enjoy
extra shaving care.
Cost you nothing extra, just 98 cents.
The regular price of 20 Gillette Blue Blades. Look sharp, feel sharp, and be sharp.
Use Gillette Blue Blades for the sharpest
closest edges ever home. Red Barrett coming on to do the pitching now for the Boston Braves.
Gave up one hit, no runs, in 2 2/3 innings of relief pitching on yesterday.
So the right-hander is ready to face Joe Gordon, the right-hand batter. Throws. Gordon swings and has a long drive. The wire fence at the 365-foot marker in deep left center. In this huge municipal stadium in Cleveland, they have, within the past 2 years, erected a wire fence around the edge of the outfield to reduce the length of the fence for the batters to get a home run. Now here's Kenny Keltner.
He swings and lifts the drive out in the right center field. Tommy Holmes racing back, still going back.
He's getting under it and makes the catch sort of in a half turn towards center field, and they're two away.
That ball was drilled some 365, 70 feet away from home plate.
So they're two down. Previous to the erection of this wire fence, in straight away center field, it was 470 feet to the fence.
And similar distances all the way around.
They have shortened them by the erection of that wire barrier. Except down the foul line. That distance remains the same. Now here's Walter Jedlick. He looks for the pitch over the inside corner for a call strike. Red Barrett tossing that slow stuff, making the engine hitters supply their own power. Now the pitch is swung on a bounder, hit down the first base line, it's foul.
Billy Grieve, umpiring at first base, went out to the left hand, indicating the ball is foul. Billy Grieve of Yonkers, New York.
You know, these umpires have a rough job anytime. And the pressure is always on them, even more so in a World Series, as it is on the players themselves.
Every decision, of course, can mean a great deal.
Red Barrett ready. Right-hander throws. And the pitch is inside the hook. Three Jutnik. Count is one ball, two strikes.
There are two outs here in the last half of the eighth inning.
Cleveland leading the Braves by a score of 2-0. Barrett, the third pitcher employed by Billy Southworth. And the delivery. Blow stuff is outside. 2-2 the count. Here's your delivery, and it's inside to Jedlick for ball three.
Some more breaking stuff.
Jedlick walked, struck out, and
flying to center.
Third game of the World Series. Braves won the opener 1-0. Indians won the second game,
4-1. This is the first game being played in Cleveland.
And the pitch swung on. Ground ball here at fourth second.
Sankey to his left up with it. Throws to Frank McCormick in time for the out. So the Indians are out in order in the last of the eighth inning.
No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. The end of eight innings of play. It's 2-0 Cleveland, and we're ready for that fateful night. The World Series
is as much a part of the American scene as ham and eggs and apple pie. It's just one more symbol of our heritage of free citizenship and individual rights.
These liberties are not imperishable. They can be destroyed and lost by our own efforts.
The peoples of many other less fortunate nations are at the crossroads between free government and dictatorship. Let's set an example that'll swing the balance to freedom.
Your own part is vital.
Participate actively in the affairs of your community, state, and nation. Work at being a good citizen. Freedom is everybody's job.
We pause now 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Green for a Day will be heard immediately following today's game. This is WOR New York.
Into the top of the ninth inning at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. And it's the top of the order for the Boston Braves. They trail 2-0. And it's Tommy Holmes up there, left-hand hitter. 0-for-3 on the afternoon, grounded short, bounced out to the pitcher and grounded second. Gene Bearden throws high inside for ball one to Tommy. Tommy Holmes, a 5'10", 175 pounder from Brooklyn, New York. Lou Boudreau moves Larry Doby over into straightaway center. Larry was over into left center. Kenny Keller laying in close at third in anticipation of a possible bunt. Gene Bearden delivers. Tommy Holmes looks at a fastball that's right in there for a call strike. Wasn't too fast. Got the inside corner just above the knees. Joe Gordon is laying two strides to the right of second, deep. Eddie Robinson at first base, wide of the line, about 15 feet. Here's your pitch. Swung on, hit foul down the third baseline is Tommy Holmes. Trying to hit in the left field. And there's a man leaning over a field box out there trying to get that ball for a souvenir. He not only did not get the ball, but he lost his hat and has to call the stadium attendant over to give him his fedora. One ball, two strikes to count now on Tommy Holmes, leading off in the top of the ninth inning. Outfield shades him slightly toward left. Gene Bearden delivers. Holmes swings and fouls it off to the left of the plate and to the left of our broadcasting booth under the upper deck. And it's a souvenir for somebody. Holmes trying to get the same type of hit that he got in the eighth inning of the first game to win that ball game for the Braves, 1-0. A line drive down the left field line. Left-hander Gene Bearden ready. Throws. Holmes takes that knuckler, but it's inside. And, of course, low, and the count is 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. Top of the ninth inning, 2-0, favor of Cleveland. Gene Bearden ready. Boy that was born in Helena, Arkansas. Delivers the pitch that swung on, hit back to the mound, grabbed a one hop by Bearden, throws on over to Eddie Robinson, and Tommy Holmes is out. Bearden to Robinson. So there's one down on the top of the ninth inning as Al Dark comes to the plate. Bearden lives in Los Angeles, California now, but he was born in Helena, Arkansas. He's sort of an Irish Indian extraction. And you know, the weather has brightened beautifully. Lots of blue in the sky now. After all morning rain, sun is out. Gene Bearden ready. Pitching to the right hand, hitting Al Dark. Low into the dirt. Ball one. One ball, no strikes. Outfield playing Dark toward left. Not too extreme. Infield shaded around toward third. Dark struck out, fly to right, and double to left in that order. Bearden into his windup, throws. There's the pitch that swung on, hit out over second. There's Gordon in back of the bank, up to the ball, force to first in time for the out. Joe Gordon with the flash hole there as Al Dark hit that ball right back through the middle out over second. But as we had told you, the infield was shaded around toward third. But even so, Joe Gordon had to flash to his right, come up with that ball, in behind the bag deep. And after all, Dark is a speedy man, had to get the ball away in a hurry to retire. So they're two down in the ninth inning. Cleveland leading 2-0, and the batter is Mike McCormick, who struck out, single to center, and popped the second. Gene Bearden throws a pitch that swung on and missed. Strike one. It was a tumble-down knuckler. Outfield plays him to pull. Bearden again ready, throws. Pitch is swung on, foul off upstairs, out of play. Hit right in front of the press box and bounded back down on the playing field. It is now approximately 25 minutes to 3 Eastern Standard Time. Ball game got underway at 1 o'clock. Now in 35-minute ball game so far. Rather fast game, as was the first one. Gene Bearden throws, pitch high outside. And the count now is one ball, two strikes on Mike McCormick. Two outs in the top of the ninth inning. Cleveland leading the Braves 2-0. great figure on the mound into the windup. Brown comes left arm. The pitch is high outside. Bearden trying to get Mike McCormick to go after a bad pitch. And now Jimmy Hegan decides to call time and walk out to talk to Bearden. Try to settle him down. Come on, Gene. Don't try to get over it. Too much in a hurry. Just take your time. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. We've not had too much confirmation, so to speak, as regards tomorrow's pitchers. Shouldn't be at all surprised to see maybe Sane Feller right back at it. That's sheer speculation at the present time. Now the pitch. And it's high for ball three. It's over the outside corner, but high. So he got a full count now on Mike McCormick. With two down, the top of the ninth inning. Nobody on, and the Braves behind two runs. Gene Bearden into his windup, payoff pitch. It swung on and grounded foul off to the left of the plate with Billy Southworth scooping it up. Bob Elliott on deck will hit next if Mike McCormick gets on. The series thus far has been marked primarily by outstanding pitching for the most part. Gene Bearden ready. And the payoff pitch is swung on. It's a pop-off out toward short. Lou Boudreau's under it, and he makes the catch. And the Indians win the ball game by a score of 2-0. And the Indian players all run up and grab the hands of Gene Bearden. Photographers rush the pitcher and the group of Indians in the flashlight. The ball splash and pictures are taken of the elated Indians as they win the third game of the series behind the five hit and shutout pitching of Gene Bearden. Jim Britt will move in just a moment to give you the totals and the summary of today's game and whatever observations he may have. That went all the way. Same fellow who put the Cleveland Indians into the World Series by beating the Red Sox in the playoff, and who came back to pitch this game today
and pitched it beautifully.
Two runs, five hits, no errors for the Indians with seven men left on, and for Boston, no runs, five hits, one error, and three men left on. Vern Bickford started for the Boston Braves with Bill Boisel and Red Barrett coming in relief. And it was Vern Bickford who was charged with the defeat. So that's it. That's the end of the third game. And now moving into the Gillette microphone is Jim Britt.
Thank you, Mel. This is the second time in 3 years that a World Series has produced two shutouts. Because in 1946, Harry the Cat Brachin and Dave Ferris of the St. Louis Cardinals and Boston Red Sox, respectively, turned in blanking. The final score again, Cleveland, two runs, five hits, no errors, seven men left on base. The Boston Braves, no runs, five hits, one error, and there were three men left on base. The Braves got only one runner as far as third base, and only two other men got as far as second. The five hits were divided equally among five of the Braves, and Al Dark was the only one to get a double. It's interesting to note that in this series so far, the Braves have had only two extra base hits, doubles by Stanky and Dark, and Cleveland has happened to have only three extra base hits, doubles by Dobie, Boudreau, and Bearden. The hero of this ball game, 60 ways from Sunday, was Gene Bearden. And Mel, I know that you and our Gillette listeners will be interested to know that that makes one earned run against Bearden over his last 38 innings of pitching in 1948. And that one earned run came in the 21st inning during the championship playoff game in Boston. He then went on to allow two unearned runs in that contest and no earned runs whatever today. No runs at all, in fact. Furthermore, he wielded the big stick for Lou Boudreau's Indians, because in the third inning, after two hitless innings had been flung by Vern Bickford, with one man out, Bearden doubled over Tommy Holmes' head in right field. It was a long walk that would have been well up into the right field bleachers at Boston. Then Mitchell walked. Dobie hit a ground ball that looked like a perfectly set up double play. But when Eddie Stanky fired to Al Dark, as Dark relayed to first base, Bearden, meantime, having gone to third, Mitchell hit him, knocked his elbow out of kilter, and the ball sailed way by first baseman Buck McCormick into the Cleveland dugout. Bearden coming in with a run, an unearned run to be sure, the second unearned run the Indians have scored. But it put Cleveland in front 1-0, and as subsequent developments proved, that was all Bearden needed. But in the fourth inning, Bickford made the fatal mistake of walking Keltner. He then struck out Chudnik. Robinson singled Keltner to second. Keegan singled to center, scoring Keltner. Bearden singled to load the bases and drive out Bickford. And then Boysell came in to retire the side. The Braves can derive some measure of consolation from the fact that their three relief pitchers, Red Barrett, Nels Potter, and Phil Boysell, have yielded only one unearned run and three hits in 9 1/3 innings of pitching. But it is a simple truth that the horse had been stolen prior to their appearances in the two games in which they worked. This game, incidentally, was 6 minutes shorter than the game on opening day. So far, they are well on their way to a record for wrapping up these World Series classics in near record time. So far in the ball games, the Indian pitchers have benefited by four double plays, while the Braves have been able to turn in only two. And two costly Braves errors have given Cleveland as many runs. The first run today was the result of one of six misplays, which the Indians have benefited by. Incidentally, in the series to date, Cleveland has scored four runs, and those four runs, by the way, have been racked up in 26 innings of play. 17 hits, only three of them extra base hits, three doubles. The Indians, however, have made only one error, one defensive mistake against six for Boston. The Indians have left 21 men on base. The Braves have scored only two runs, one of them unearned. They have 15 hits, just two fewer than Cleveland, and only two of those were doubles. But they have committed six misplays. Today, the one earned run which Cleveland collected was enough for Mr. Bearden. You'll recall, of course, that he was the hero of an action in Kula Gulf when he was down below decks as a Japanese torpedo struck his ship. He has a silver plate in his head and several silver plates in his legs. He also has ice water in his veins and iron and steel in his heart. It was he who won the championship playoff game for Cleveland at Fenway Park last Monday, and it was likewise the stout-hearted young left-hander, the owner of one of the few port-side knuckleballs in the business, who was just too good for Boston today. And I know that when Mel and I get an opportunity to chat with the Boston Braves in their dressing room, they will be just as unstinting in their praise of Bearden's work today as they were of Lemons yesterday and as the sporting Cleveland Indians were of Johnny Sainz in the opener. There is a possibility that Bob Feller will go tomorrow, but my own speculation is that we are more likely to see a second-line pitcher like Steve Gromek or southpaw Sam Zoldak, while Billy Southworth will probably have to come right back with John Sain. Sain won six games in 18 days during the finishing days of the season, and with 2 days' rest, should be able to come back against the Indians. I feel very strongly that he is just about Billy's only available choice. Tomorrow, we bring you the fourth game of the 1948 World Series from Huge Municipal Stadium in Cleveland on the shorefront of Lake Erie. Make a note that we'll be on the air at 12:45 Eastern Standard Time, the same as today. And the promise is for clear skies and good baseball weather. Until then, folks, smooth sailing, smooth shaving, and good afternoon from your hosts, the Gillette Safety Razor Company, Mel Allen and Jim Britt.